Hello and welcome to Wednesday at 9 p.m. Season 2, Episode 1. Coming up on tonight's episode, we discuss the wild world of yokai, the most beautiful man on the moon, and why you should never procreate with a dragon. My name is Nick, and joining me, as always, are Aaron and Frank. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Happy to be back after a extremely short break.
Yeah.
After Season 1. Honestly, still a little shaken up by your intro there, Nick.
Which part?
You know, the mention of yokais.
No.
Not the procreating with the dragon?
No,
that's pretty standard. No, that's pretty standard stuff.
That's a normal Wednesday night, I guess.
But yeah, we're back. We had a hiatus for a myriad of reasons. A lot of things.
No, it was just Nick.
It was just me. A lot of stuff was going on, but we're all good. Nothing bad. Just very busy.
Brief stint in juvie. Some community service, and he's out.
Yep. As an adult, I went to juvie. But yeah, glad to get back into this and talk about the most unhinged stuff I can find.
Awesome.
Tonight, yes, we are going to be talking about yokai, and you're going to be listening to me try to pronounce a lot of Japanese words. Luckily, they do have, like, translations in the book. So, that's not a problem. And so the book we're going to go into, let me just pull it up right here.
Can we make this into, like, a drinking game? Like, every time Nick pronounces a name wrong, everyone takes a shot.
How would we know, though?
We'd have to have, like, a Japanese, like fluent in Japanese listener to write a comment on the website. But yes, so we're going to get into a book called The Hour of Meeting Evil Spirits, an encyclopedia of Mononoke and Magic by Matthew Meyer.
That's a great title.
It is a great title. And he has similar books of like Japanese folklore. I think this is like book 2 out of 4. So we'll have a link in the like the references part of the episode with the Amazon page for this book. And then you could easily find the other books on there as well that he has written. And there are very nice illustrations of all the different yokai in this.
That's cool.
For copyright reasons, they will not be in the show notes, unfortunately.
Can't we just credit them?
I don't know if that's how it works.
I don't think we're supposed to. That's what people do, but I don't think technically that's how you say illegal.
Like, you gotta go ask them to use their copyright.
Yeah, you need, like,
stuff.
Express permission.
So, I did look. We can freely share this information for non-commercial purposes. It does say that. We don't make any money.
This is certainly non-commercial.
We're not altering his work in any way, so we're good. So, he kind of starts the book talking about, like, an umbrella term. Like, yokai is already kind of an umbrella term, but he talks about this, like, he uses the word kami, K-A-M-I.
Okay.
And that's the kind of umbrella term I'm using, because he then talks about yokai specifically and how, like, that's the very common term for spirits in Japan. There's also oni, which I'm sure we're familiar with from playing Phasmophobia. They're the equivalent.
And D&D,
yep.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They are the equivalent of demons. And they have a much greater, like, cultural and literary significance than the yokai, because they, like, tales of them go back millennia. And they are completely evil, those oni. They are wholly evil. And apparently,
wholly evil?
Female oni are called Kijo. Which I didn't know there was a different name for them, which I guess makes sense.
I thought they were, like, all female.
No.
Or is that just... No?
There are...
I'm just thinking of hags or something?
Yeah, you're thinking of hags.
Okay.
There's also... Okay, so now we're going to get into the hard pronunciations. Onryo? Or Onryo? And those are...
I believe it's Onryo.
Onryo? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's wrong. The book has a pronunciation guide. O's make the OH sound, so it would be Onryo.
Okay, well, you didn't tell me there was a little bar over the last O.
Sorry, my bad. But those are considered vengeful ghosts. So maybe what we think of, like, poltergeists, perhaps?
Does that include people ghosts?
It's ghosts of humans, and sometimes animals, and even ghosts of yokai.
I thought you were going to say ghosts of ghosts.
Yes. And these were deeply feared by the ancient aristocrats of Japan. So there was a lot of superstition and belief in these kinds of things back hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago.
The aristocratic class specifically. I wonder why. Like, what they were scared of, like peasant ghosts or something? Like,
there was a lot. The book details a handful of, like, handful of stories, yes, but these beings played a really big part in, like, the government for whatever reason. I think it was just because of the superstitions at the time. Bad omens, good omens, what it meant to see certain spirits or being what it meant to be haunted. So I think it was just in that kind of vein.
Interesting.
Do you think any yokais run our government?
No, those are the reptilians, Aaron. There are two more categories that are also all kind of... Myers kind of described these all as yokai to an extent, but there is kaibutsu, which are monsters.
Bless you.
Like, it includes magic animals. Kaicho, which are strange birds. Kaiju, which are strange beasts.
Kaiju? Like,
I thought of that too, like the old movie with the dog, but
what? No, I'm thinking what? Of
no, like kaiju, like big,
like Godzilla.
What am I thinking?
Exactly.
Of? Oh, that's Cujo.
What?
That's Cujo.
Yeah, no, kaiju is kaiju a Japanese kaijin. Term commonly associated with media involving giant monsters.
Yeah, strange beasts. Look at that. There you go.
Strange. Godzilla is a kaiju, no?
Well,
I think so.
Yes.
Please, it's kaiju. All kaiju. The vowels. Oh. All the vowels.
So it's Gojira.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, so there are a ton of these monster creatures, and they were apparently invented by Edo period bookmakers who just wanted to contribute to writing ghost stories. Frank, you would have done well in...
I know,
Edo,
right?
Period Japan.
In that makes me think of the 18th century books that I have on just like gothic ghost stories where they were just making stuff up too. It's all real, of course.
In case you were curious, because I was, the Edo period comes up a handful of times. That is declared as the years 1603 to 1868 AD. So that's the Edo period if you ever hear me bring it up. And our last kind of grouping are the kaihi, which are strange phenomena. So that includes kaika, which are strange fires, hinotama, which are fireballs, and tsukimono, which is spirit possession, as well as enchantments and other various like magical things. And mental illnesses were considered these things as well until modern medicine classified mental illnesses. Yeah.
So you're telling me depression was a yokai?
Yes.
Wow.
Specifically a kai.
Of course.
But yeah, it was believed that these strange phenomena are caused by yokai or black magic or sometimes totally unknown reasons. They just happen.
Fair enough.
Which I think is, you know, technically true for some things still that happen in the world. So
stuff just happens, yeah.
And I'm not going to get too deep into some of the other stuff that he talked about, but Myers talks about magic and sorcery in ancient Japan and how yokai live in a world parallel to ours and they have their own societies.
Isn't that like...
They're like yokai hierarchies.
That makes me think of the old movie. Was it the Halloween Town?
Oh, yeah.
Where there's like the whole like society of like supernatural creatures and they have like they have mailmen that have like pumpkin heads and they're all witches and monsters.
That's, yeah. Sarah would be proud of your
Disney Halloween knowledge.
And classic. And I just love that this is this like the same belief as in Japan. There are certain times and places during the year where the boundary between the spirit world and the human world are the most thin and crossing over is possible. So think of obviously
Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Yeah, Wednesday at 9
p.m.
But, you know, think about Halloween in particular, but also the solstices, the equinoxes, these like changing of the seasons. And also when I think of crossing over during this time, we should look into this. What, how often do people get spirited away? What time of year is it? Is it when the veil is the thinnest? That would be something interesting to look at.
That would be.
But they also have this witching hour term called Ushi no Koku, which is translated to Hour of the Ox. And it's roughly between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. So similar to that 3 a.m. as well. I think that's
Isn't that really weird?
That like even in Japan, other side of the world, they have these same kind of ideas that are in the West. Who knows if, you know, who influenced who over the years, but I just find it.
I love like little things like that. Like every society has like, yeah, there's times of the veil thinning and the witching hour, and they're like human universal concepts.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of where you are. But something I thought was interesting is apparently in Japan, the hour of twilight is even more dangerous than the witching hour. When the sun is about to set, that is apparently when the boundary is the thinnest between the human and spirit worlds. And for this reason, the twilight hour in Japanese is called, all right, Omagatoki, which means hour of meeting evil spirits.
Like, there's no way it's got like three syllables for all that.
I believe it.
Technically, the O, it has the macron. That should be like two O, should be like Omagatoki.
Oh.
But I'm just going to do it kind of singular because it's just going to really mess me up.
Hey, but still, there's like four syllables for a very specific thing. That's crazy.
Yeah. What kind of metric is that?
Well, there's a whole nother thing about like multiple, like many words are like, or like a translation of hour of meeting evil spirits does get shunked into kind of one word. That happens a lot. Like, in the Japanese language, I guess, with like compound words. So some of them that I have are like spread out for me to read, but in Japanese, they might be together and viewed as one word.
Oh, interesting.
Then there's also the kanji, which are the symbols. That's a whole nother thing. We're not getting into that, but.
Yeah, can you please describe the symbols for us?
Nope. So that's kind of the background. I'll give you a little bit more on Omagatoki, and then we'll get into some yokai examples. So, as I said, this Omagatoki is the hour of meeting evil spirits, and this is when the evil spirits begin to stir and the shadows start covering everything in the landscape. And apparently, yokai that appear during Omagatoki are preceded by a cold wind blowing, a strange smell in the air akin to fish or blood, not quite sulfur, but a weird smell, a sudden onset of darkness, makes sense, and a sudden chill that causes hairs to stand on end. So very, I don't want to say cliche, but classic.
Spooky.
Yeah, signs that something is going bump in the night. So that's Omagatoki. Now let's get into some examples of yokai. And again, if you're interested in seeing illustrations of this, I implore you to buy the book and check it out for yourself. They're very good and fun illustrations. So we first have the Chimi, which is a mountain spirit. And apparently they, or it, I guess, I don't know. It eats humans. So that's good. And they have human-like faces, but with bestial bodies. And they feed on the innards of corpses.
Nice.
Also, just side note, what makes that a mountain spirit? Just that it, like, resides in the mountains?
Yeah, it resides in the mountain. The book, went in this, like, kind of classification that they have, there are, like habitats for some of them. And so this is found in the mountains and surrounding areas.
Because I know in like other forms of like culture, like Greek and Roman, like the nature spirits are like actually physically representative of like, oh, it would look like a rocky body or something. Or like oh, yeah, it lives up there. Don't go there.
Like how a dryad looks like a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
This isn't that.
No.
It's just messed up.
You'll see that some of these descriptions get a little crazy. But yeah, the Chimi are nasty and mischievous, and what they'll do is they trick humans into getting lost in the mountains and then attack them so they can eat their insides, basically. And now, similarly, there's another type of mountain spirit, but can also inhabit trees, rocks, and streams called the Moryo. And they also eat human corpses, but they look like 3-year-old children with red or black skin, kind of like Onis, because Onis typically have like black, blue, red skin. They have red eyes, long ears, and long, beautiful hair. And they rob graves to eat corpses. It's very weird. And they even are said to interrupt funerals through using some kind of magic to distract people. Whereupon they steal the corpses from the coffin when no one's looking so they can eat them. Luckily, they are afraid of oak trees and tigers. So,
well, I'd be afraid of tigers, too.
Are you afraid of oak trees?
Hey, man, don't go there.
Hold up. 3-year-old children with red or black skin, red eyes. That's horrifying. I don't think
it's pretty scary.
We should skim past that. That's pretty crazy. Imagine seeing that. Yeah, I think of the time we were all in the Jersey Pine Barrens, and I was desperately looking around for
the Jersey Devil
or for Bigfoot or something, and thinking like, man, if I saw something, what would I even do? Like, can you imagine seeing,
run to the car?
I guess so, but can you imagine seeing not even like a clearly horrific, like, you know, half beast, half whatever, but seeing a 3-year-old human shaped thing?
You'd think it's just normal and you'd go to help it because you think it's lost.
And then you get really closer and you see its red eyes.
Good thing we're not corpses, though.
As red skin.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. It doesn't like actively attack and turn people into corpses, does it?
Not this one. Okay. The Chimi does, not the Moryo.
That's good, okay. At least. Okay.
And I have a quick little story about the Moryo, like a little legend. So there was a servant for a particular government official, and the servant told the official that they had to leave his service. And when the official asked why, the servant revealed he was a Moryo in disguise, and the time had come to fulfill his duties and steal a corpse from a nearby village. The next day, the servant was gone, and at the village the servant mentioned, dark clouds started to form over a funeral service. And when the clouds cleared, the corpse was no longer in the coffin.
That's rough.
That's the little legend to go along with the
before Mario. It was even like put into the ground.
Yep.
At least go after someone that's been in the ground for a while. That's cruel going after someone that's got family grieving. Damn. Well,
and that's crazy too, because like this thing, it wasn't like, oh, I kind of want to do this. It was like, I am called to do this.
Yeah. Like it was its life duty to do it.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Nothing personal.
I will also note sometimes the Chimi and the Morio are like combined to call like a Chimi Morio because they are pretty similar and where
kind of mountain what they, spirit yeah,
mountains general. They eat humans, so there is sometimes referenced together.
A little bit of shape shifting implied here too, like in disguise.
No, I don't think any shape shifting. I just think like cleverly disguised.
Disguise a 3-year-old.
I don't know.
Into looking like a.
Well, I just say they man. Look
three
like,
of them on each other's shoulders.
They look like 3-year-old children. That could just mean in stature. They could have just been very short.
Okay,
people.
You have a servant that's the height of a 3-year-old.
Could be a tall 3-year-old.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying there was no mention of shape-shifting, so I don't want to go on and assume that they can.
Yeah, otherwise one might come for you, or I guess wait till you die and then steal.
True.
Unless it's a Chimi Morio.
That's true.
Then it'll come for you.
But I'm not in the mountains.
We're pretty close to mountains. We can, I mean.
I guess, yeah. We also have the Hiderigami, which translates to drought spirit. And I like this one because the diet that Myers wrote was atmospheric moisture.
It eats atmospheric it's like moisture. Sucking the water out of the air.
Yeah, so it is a one-armed and one-legged hairy female humanoid with one eye, and it's 2 to 3 feet tall, and it's said to run as fast as the wind.
There's so many mean jokes to make here, I guess.
How does it like hobble along? Like that's gotta be pretty fast. Impressive. Like a pogo stick and going with no 40 miles an hour.
Too, I did not include it in tonight's episode, but there is another one-legged humanoid with an eye that hops around and does somersaults to move.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
I did
terrifying.
Not include that one.
But so these guys cause droughts.
Yeah.
They're sucking up their water.
Kind of. They're not encountered that much by humans, but you can easily tell when one is nearby because the heat from its body is so great that it dries everything up around it. Clouds don't even form near it, and it can't rain when it's nearby. However,
wait,
how do you deal with this?
I'm glad you asked. You can throw a Hiderigami into a toilet to kill it. According to some accounts, that's alleged.
What?
Okay.
Well,
I've
kind
got
of
a couple questions.
Toilets, right?
Like, after Frank.
That's my question. What kind of toilets are we talking about?
Well, like, there's another yokai that, again, I did not include that does come out of a toilet. So maybe they deal
God.
With it.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay, so first, I guess you answered one of them, I guess, with the yokai that may or may not deal with the other yokai. But if this thing can prevent clouds from forming, why can't it, like, what's stopping it from, like, absorbing all the moisture from a human body? Like, how do you get it into a toilet without just, like, becoming
question.
Extremely dehydrated to the point of death?
Yeah, it's a very reasonable and logical question.
I'm more concerned how you're going to even catch it if it runs as fast as the wind.
Okay, but the wind can be pretty slow sometimes, Nick.
I suppose. But droughts can be very minor at times.
Not if clouds can't form.
Yeah, this is a pretty rough one. Not necessarily like malevolent, like trying to kill you, but it does definitely cause a lot of problems.
I'd want to get rid of it. I'm trying everything up.
Well, Maybe I should have included the bathroom yokai, but c'est la vie.
That's so funny. That's
it's basically a black hairy hand that comes out of a toilet.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah.
That's horrific. What does it do? Does it just tickle you? Tickle, tickle.
Kind of, yeah.
When you're sitting down?
Yeah, more or less.
Where
there's a legend that went along with it that I won't get into it. I don't want to get off on a tangent. But
is it graphic?
No, it's just like some guy comes in and cuts the hand off, and then he gets confronted on a road, and it's like a band of yokai, and they kind of kidnap him and like, or put a blanket over him and then like slam him into the ground. And when he wakes up, his sword's missing, because that's the sword that cut off the creature's hand, who happened to be a 9 foot tall being.
What?
Yeah, that was the schizo ramblings of what I remembered. So
nice.
There you go.
I can only imagine our one listener tuning in and just like skipping ahead to see like if this episode is going to be interesting, and they just hear that audio clip from Nick saying, yeah, apparently it was a 9 foot tall being whose arm got cut off.
Yeah.
But I'd listen.
I'll get us back on track to the, all right, the Aobozu. Aobozu, which translates to blue monk. And they commonly eat children.
Of course.
Naturally. And they are depicted as one-eyed, blue-skinned priests, and they have a strong connection to magic. They are said to inhabit abandoned homes, wheat fields, dark roads. And in Shizuoka, which I think is a province from either it exists now or it was a province back, years ago. So in that folklore, in that province, they appear in spring at sunset, and children are told to go straight home after school and not play in the fields. Otherwise, the Aobozu will snatch them up. Very classic, jeez, keep the kids behaved kind of story.
Yeah, right.
However, a little more graphic, in Kagawa province, they appear to women late at night, asking them, would you like to hang by your neck?
Oh my God.
If the
God.
Woman responds with no, the Aobozu disappears without it. However, if they don't say anything or ignore Aobozu, he attacks them, knocks them out, and hangs the woman.
Wow.
What?
So do not say no. If a one-eyed, blue-skinned person asks if you want to hang from your neck, just say no.
If you're a woman.
If you're a woman. In Kagawa.
And, it sounds like a trick question, too. So how many women were like, seems like too easy an answer. I'm not going to say no. And then boom.
Mm-hmm.
They get attacked and hanged.
How long does this thing wait before determining, like, yeah, they're not going to answer? You think it's like 2 seconds? And if they don't immediately
they're
respond,
looking at their
no,
wrists,
they
they're
just
like, I don't have all day, yes or no. Got other women to hang.
I got children to snatch and eat.
Why do all of these have one eye?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
what do you think that's about?
No, it was a different yokai. There is another one that also can be depicted with one eye, but sometimes two. I'm not really sure, but they did kind of front load the one-eyed beings, I will say, or at least the ones I thought were interesting also happened to be one-eyed creatures.
Interesting.
You think it's to make them less human?
That is potentially
true.
Because
humans have two eyes, so if there's this. Like, they can't just be like, yeah, there's this guy that's blue and he'll ask you questions.
That's the only difference is that he's blue. He's a normal guy otherwise.
Well, it would be problematic for the blue man group coming
True.
To Japan. So they probably had to change it because of that.
Maybe they're yokai. The blue Perhaps. Man group.
I have seen them snatching children.
One of them chewed a marshmallow and spit it into my dad's hand. True Whoa. Story.
That sounds like a yokai.
We went to see them.
Very nice.
Did he ask your mom any questions?
Nope. She got hanged.
Oh, wait.
Rest in peace.
Okay. Now, this next one, I think, is just funny. The Imori, which translates to gecko, they're the ghosts of dead warriors that transformed into geckos.
Huh.
And they attack and harass trespassers at the place where they were killed.
Think this is the Geico gecko?
No, because these were like red, not green. Also, there's some dispute whether it means, because the kanji could mean, I think, newt ghost or something instead of gecko ghost, but then the word means gecko, so it might be newt as well.
What about salamander?
Not that. That was not salamander. That was not said. Okay. But yeah, I just thought it was funny because the picture is little geckos wearing like samurai helmets. So I thought it was fun.
So those seem more of like a nuisance.
Yeah, just don't go where, like, they died.
Threatening. Okay, but even if you do, what is it going to do? Like nibble on you?
They're ghosts of dead warriors. I'd be terrified.
They still have all the strategies and the, you know?
Yeah, you're going to get really afraid when we get to the Kura Yaro.
Ooh.
That's in a few. Actually, I'll just say the Kura Yaro now because it's related. It translates to saddle rascal, and they are saddles, like actual saddles, whose masters have been slain, and they take on lives of their own and act like warriors.
So wait, saddles like that go in the backs of animals?
Yes.
Like horses?
Yep. And they take on lives of their own and act like warriors. So you would be fighting a saddle.
Like the like the magic carpet in Aladdin, how it kind of like.
Yeah. So imagine there's an Imori and a Kura Yaro next to each other. They're gonna destroy you.
That go hard.
So like what? It like flips you off your horse while you're riding? Or
no,
something?
No, no. Its master was killed. Like the
Yeah.
And now they are just like sentient saddles.
Yeah, so like, but what harm is it gonna do to me? Like,
no, they like what? Fight with weapons.
It's gonna flip me off the horse.
They fight with weapons. Oh.
You could not take so on like, a saddle rascal, Aaron.
So this saddle, like, somehow is able to hold weapons and stuff, and like,
that's the part that you don't believe. Like
not just a saddle that like can move.
If I was able to show you the picture. Which maybe I can in Discord.
I bet you'd lose. Yeah. The Saddle Rascal would take on any of us. It'd like wrap us up. We'd be out. The geckos would, you know, eat our eyes. We're dead. No chance.
Yeah, I don't like our chances against the gecko or the saddle.
It's a saddle. All you need is a knife. And then you stab the saddle.
Who says that would stop it?
What?
Who says that would stop? What, you stab them in their saddle heart?
No, you just like cut it apart and what's it going to do?
Okay, you cut it in half. Oh, great. Now you have two of them.
Yeah, that's how that works. They're like starfish.
You shred them. Now you have like hundreds of threads that want to kill you.
Well, I tried to send it to you guys, and it did not work. It only copied the page.
Why didn't you just share your screen?
Because that would significantly make this longer.
Okay. I feel like I want to include pictures, but yeah, we really shouldn't.
We can't. I buy the book. I got it on Kindle. It was like $10.
Oh, nice.
But anyway.
We should really be getting sponsored by these
people.
Yeah,
by Matthew Myers specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of go back a few, we have the Ubaga Bee, which is old hag fire. And so these are one of these fireball yokai, and they appear on rainy nights near riverbanks and form into a 1 foot diameter ball of fire with an old woman's face on the inside.
Oh.
It can also, Ubagabi, can.
I feel like that's not what you said before.
Did I say Ugababi or Ubagabi?
No, you're just like different stress on the syllables.
Ubagabi. Ubagabi. Anyway, they can appear as chickens, but never do for a long time. They can.
Yeah, it's a very chicken form.
Now, I wonder, how does that even happen? So, apparently, these are formed when, or they're created out of ghosts of old women who were caught stealing oil and died of shame.
How many of these are there? There's got to be like one.
I don't know.
And they're like, yeah, there's this that one fireball that sometimes is a chicken.
I mean, they die on the spot of shame?
Well, the woman in her life was caught stealing oil and died of shame. I don't know if it was a long, painful death that she died of shame.
She died over 20 years slowly of shame.
Or does the act of stealing the oil just cause such immense pain and shame?
Well, it's only if she gets
just
caught.
Kills you outright.
It's if she gets caught.
True.
Now,
true.
The other problem with these is they can fly up to 4 kilometers in a matter of seconds. Like, not up, but like fly around in any direction, 4 kilometers almost instantaneously.
Whoa. What's.
So that's a problem.
How many feet is that?
Feet? I don't know.
Well, if you think about a 5K, which is 5 kilometers, it's about 3 miles. So 4 kilometers, you're looking at like 2.5 miles in a matter of seconds.
Oh my, yeah, it's 13,000 feet. What?
Yeah, so in a matter of seconds, but.
Oh yeah, not meters, kilometers. Oh my God.
If one brushes against a person's shoulder, they will die within 3 years. But
the person or the
yokai? Person. But if they shout Abura Sashi, which means oil thief, as the Ubagabi flies towards them, you'll be fine and the Ubagabi will vanish.
Is it before they get touched or
yeah, it's while it's flying towards you.
You have to be aware.
Abura
Sashi. You have to catch it.
Yeah.
Before. Like if you're turned around and it brushes you in the back, you're screwed.
Yes.
Damn.
We also have, I like this one because it reminds me of the black dogs in England. The Okuri Inu, or sending off dog. Of course, it eats humans, naturally. And it's like a nocturnal dog or wolf-like yokai. And it follows lone travelers on dark roads at night, stalking them to attack. But as long as you continue to walk, you're safe. If you trip or stumble, the Okuri Inu will attack and kill you.
Ooh.
So just keep walking. But they do kind of stalk you in like kind of denser parts of the woods, so it's a lot easier to fall. So you do have to be very careful. And they're also associated with another yokai called the Yosuzume, which is like a bird yokai, and its call signals the a warning that a Okuri Inu is following.
Oh, so it's helpful.
Yes.
That's nice. That's helpful. Mm-hmm. And this also made me think of the Shiba Inu. So I guess now, yeah. I guess Inu is the word that means dog.
I would agree.
And I just looked it up, and Shiba Inu translates to brushwood dog. So
now you know a Japanese word.
Look at that. We're learning. It's infotainment.
Infotainment. All right. This next one, it's a little graphic.
Can I quick interjection? I was doing some math.
Yep. About the Ubagabi.
The Ubagabi, yeah. So if you assume, so you got 4 kilometers, which is about 2.5 miles. Yep. let's say 5 seconds, that's half a mile per second, which is 1800 miles per hour.
That's pretty fast.
You mean to tell me that you can not only react to something coming at you that fast, but you can also get the words out?
I said up to 4 kilometers.
You turn into a mist, a red mist, if it brushed you.
It can do that. That's its full capacity. It can go slower.
That's like in The Boys. Has anyone watched The Boys?
No.
It's like one of the first episodes.
Sponsor us, Amazon.
Yeah, sponsor us, Amazon. One of the superheroes, his superpower is like super fast speed, and he's like high on drugs, and he runs through the street, and he runs through a lady.
And she just evaporates?
And she just, yes, like turns to mist.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? That's like what would happen.
Yeah.
Watch out for the...
Ubagabi.
Do you think it can move that fast in chicken form? Like you see a chicken like...
See, I don't know about the
breaking
chicken
the sound barrier.
That would be scary.
That would be...
It would be something. For sure. Now, as I said, this next one, a little on the graphic side, or at least the legend behind it is the Amano Jaku, which translates to heavenly evil spirits. And they're known for provoking humans into acting upon wicked and impious desires.
Mm.
And so the legend goes that a childless elderly couple found a baby girl inside a melon and took her home and raised her as their own. And they named her Uriku Hime. And one day, she was asked to be married, as you do. The elderly couple went into town to buy a dowry and prep for the wedding, upon which they told Uriku not to open the door for anyone. A little while later, Uriku heard a knock at the door and heard, quote, "Uriku Hime, please let me in." She refused, and the voice asked, again, if she would at least just crack open the window. Reluctantly, she did, and immediately a clawed finger slipped through the crack and smashed the window. It was an Amano Jaku.
Uh-oh.
It attacked Uriku and tore at her clothes. She tried to fight back, but the demon was too strong, snapping her neck and killing her. However, it doesn't end there. The Amano Jaku then flayed Uriko's skin and wore it like a suit, disguising itself as Uriko. It fooled the parents, and on the day of the wedding, a crow called out, warning the elderly couple that their daughter was not as she seemed. They grabbed the bride, quote, air quotes, bride, and held her down, washing her body until the flayed skin sloughed off, revealing the Amano Jaku. That was a word that Matthew Myers used, and I was like, that's a fun word. What is that?
It is a fun word. It's
like,
it just means to like fall off.
So the flayed skin fell off, revealing that it was indeed the Amano Jaku. And the ending's great. It ran, but the couple and the other townspeople caught it, hit it with sticks, stones, and tools, beating it into a bloody mess, upon which it then died.
Good.
So it's like a vampire where it has to be let in before
it does
all that.
Yeah, and then it does some real crazy stuff.
What was the moral of the story? Don't let strangers into your house? Like what?
No, don't adopt a baby if it was in a watermelon.
Yeah, don't adopt
just
a melon,
said a melon.
Baby.
Okay.
Don't get it twisted.
They have like square melons there? Or am I making that up?
No, you're thinking of Minecraft.
Is that guy that does that eats the watermelon in like 3 seconds? Is he Japanese? You know, video link in the description.
The guy that like dresses up as Batman.
What? I don't know, where he just like hits himself like 3 times and he goes.
I have no idea.
On the watermelon.
Oh, I think we're thinking of different videos, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
I'll put links in the description.
Don't think he's Japanese.
You know, I do have a food yokai coming up.
This was not a planned segue.
Coming up. called Tofu Kozo, which means tofu priest boy. Tofu priest boy. It's a small yokai that resembles a child, but has a large head and clawed fingers and toes.
They say it's made of tofu.
No, that'd be funny though. They wear kimonos and wide brimmed hats and are viewed as timid and weak, but non-aggressive towards humans, at least. They may follow people home on a rainy night, but they'll shy away from any confrontation. And they are bullied and teased by other yokai. They're just these small little tofu boys that get bullied for being weak.
And they could, I mean, they have clawed fingers and toes, so they could be aggressive.
But they're not. They're very timid.
That's kind of sad.
Taciturn, if you will.
That's, yeah. So.
Yeah, very, very sad.
Aaron, you should say that. You should say it.
I feel like we got to cut this out, though, because I don't know.
No, but who cares?
Are they actually just soy boys?
Maybe. Now, the fact that they resemble children, I don't know. If you're...
That's not what I have a problem with. It's where does the priest come in?
Yeah, I don't know. There was a...
Is it just their hats and robes?
So, the outfit that they have is just typical for tofu-selling boys of the Edo period. So, the kimono and the hat is just what tofu-selling boys would wear in the Edo period.
What that made more questions for me than answers.
Was tofu a street food? Like that would just be sold? Like,
huh. I believe so. So I think they're just fun. They do love tofu. They do love eating tofu. Just in case you were curious.
That makes sense. That's why they get bullied, honestly.
Maybe. Now, I think the moment you've all been waiting for, the Katsura Otoko, meaning lives on the moon. Oh, no, sorry. It doesn't mean lives on the moon. My bad. The meaning is like the Katsura tree. My mistake.
But it lives on the moon?
It does live on the moon.
Oh, damn.
It's the Katsura Otoku is an incomparably handsome man who lives on the face of the moon. And he appears on moonlit nights to gaze down at those who gaze upon him. But if one gazes at Katsura Otoku for long enough, he will extend his hand and beckon you to go towards him. With each shake of his hand, your lifespan shrinks, and if you stare too long, you may die on the spot.
I have to watch out for this because I get lost staring at the moon. I think I've seen this guy.
You might have. Now, what my thought is with this one is like a kind of a, like a lunatic thing where people are infatuated with the moon.
There is something about the moon that makes people crazy, that draws people to it.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, initially, when you were describing this with the beckoning hand, I thought you were going to get into some crazy stuff like, oh, yeah, they start levitating towards the moon or something. It's equally terrifying.
Yeah. And maybe also, you know, is it pareidolia when you think you see a face on the moon?
Yeah, I wonder if that's connected to that. Yeah,
maybe.
But you could totally imagine this. I mean, the moon is mesmerizing.
Yeah.
So you can imagine being like to your kid in the Edo period, don't look at the moon, you know, stop staring. The guy up there, if he catches you staring at him, he's gonna shorten your life.
Okay, but how big is this guy? Like, can you see him with the naked eye, or like do you need a telescope?
That I don't know. I believe this also originated in China. And when they stole it? Ancient China and ancient Japan, when the cultures kind of melded. Stuff like some of these are of Chinese origin, not all of them are necessarily
they made their way to Japanese culture.
Now Aaron, I don't know Nick. About you, but this is my favorite one that I'm going to talk about.
I would agree.
No, the next one.
I would agree.
The Shreeme, which means butt eye.
What?
I would like to change my vote to disagree.
They appear to be just a normal person. But as soon as you get close to it, it's clear that they're a yokai. And now you might be like, how do you know? Well, they have no facial features. Just a blank face.
Oh, I hate that.
But don't worry. In their buttholes, they have a large eye that shines like lightning. So what the Shreeme does is it pretends to be a man in a kimono and asks you to like come over if you have a minute to spare. And when you do, it drops its kimono to the ground, bends over, and reveals its giant eye to you as a prank.
You get mooned by the Shreeme?
Well, no, because it's its butthole, so it like spreads. So you can see the eye, and it's this very bright eye, just to prank you, and that's all they do. What? So that's a Shreeme.
I think I've seen that, or maybe that was just a homeless guy.
So it was in downtown.
Yeah, Troy. Downtown Troy. Unknown 15th Street.
It seems like a lot of these yokai have like a moral to them, or like, oh, it's classic folklore where you're supposed to warn the kids about some phenomenon.
Is this one not obvious?
To explain some phenomenon. No, it really isn't. Please
don't go over to strangers.
Don't go over to strangers and look at their buttholes.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think that needed to be a lesson, but
you don't know what it was like in 100. You know,
in Edo period Japan.
I just said some of these were Edo period. Not all of these are Edo period, just as a disclaimer.
Okay.
Why is the eye shining? Like
lightning.
What is that even? So is that
lightning's
like
very bright.
It is, right? Is this like a flash?
And quite literally, metaphorically, literally,
figuratively,
bodily.
Spiritually,
metaphysically.
So obviously I think that's the silliest one, except maybe the next. Okay. Just kidding. The next three are very silly. Are we good on the Shreeme? Any other questions about
Butt-Eye?
All right.
No. Nope.
Well, now you'll like the Nurikabe, which means painted wall. It's said to be invisible.
No, I can see one right now.
But it began being illustrated during the Edo period as this grotesque looking bipedal wall.
What does that mean?
They appear on roads late at night to block your path, and there is no way around it. There's no way over it. And it can't be knocked over. Like, if you try to move to the right, it will extend and you can't do anything. Try to go to the left, can't do it. Over, nope. And you can't knock it down. But the way to get around it is you have to tap a Nurikabe near the ground with a stick, and then it will vanish.
Damn, that is so inconvenient and annoying. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. And remember, they're invisible. They were just illustrated in the Edo period. I believe they're still technically invisible.
So you
just get stopped by like a force.
Yeah, you're like just like walk and like bounce off and you're like, what the? You're so like a mime, but like for real.
Maybe mimes have Nurikabe just like as spirit possessed onto them.
So imagine you've got like this horse or this like donkey or something, and you're just like riding down the road, and all of a sudden the donkey just like runs into this invisible force and just like starts bucking and going crazy and just like tosses you out of the cart.
Well, yeah, and then if you die, then your saddle's going to become a Kurayaro.
True.
And you'll become a, what was the gecko one?
I'll become a gecko.
Imori.
Imori?
Imori.
Imori.
So
who would win?
You know, an Imori or a...
No, I was going to say a Nurikabe versus a
Kuriyaro?
Ubagabi.
Oh, ooh. It has to be the Nurikabe, because even if it can move that fast, you can't, the Nurikabe, there's no way around it.
You think the wall could move more than 16,000 miles per hour? Like the Ubagabi?
It can match it. Not faster, but as fast. And it's a floating head in fire. It can't pick up a stick.
Well, if it goes
but when it's a chicken.
Chicken maybe. Form.
Maybe. So there's our in-depth analysis on the Ubagabi versus Nurikabi fight.
Who would win?
We'll have a whole episode dedicated to that, you know, citing authors and coming in with a more well-researched argument.
Like Japanese Edo period and experts.
This should be like our April Fool's episode next year.
Like in-depth analysis.
Of the Nurikabe versus Ubagabi.
Just like yokai matchups.
There you go. That'd be really funny, because there's just a ton of funky ones. Like, we also have the
Tofu Boy just loses every time.
Yeah, Tofu Boy always loses. Now, this next one, this is going to be a tough one, so bear with me. The Oboro Guruma. I'm not going to say it again.
Say it again. Come on. I'll
it
cut
means
out the ones.
Hazy cart. And it's a half transparent ghost like ox cart with an enormous face on it.
What? I'm going to look up what an ox cart looks like.
And it came about from, allegedly, the built up negative feelings of nobles who didn't get good sightseeing spots during festivals. So all that pent up negative feeling turned an ox cart into a Oboro Guruma.
Yo, it's a tulpa, except not really.
No, well, it's negative feelings, not necessarily your thoughts. Like, because tulpa's like constant thoughts and like thinking about it.
Okay, but this is like constant emotion.
No. It's not constant emotions, but it's like the emotions get built up over time. It's not like the cart itself is holding on to the emotions, not the people. I think is how it works.
That's interesting. I mean, there's that classic idea, right? Like the emotions, negative emotions leave a trace.
Oh yeah.
Like spawn entities or spawn ghosts or shades or spirits.
And in this case, it's just a ghost-like ox cart with a giant face on it.
That's interesting. I looked up what that ox cart might look like. It looks like, if you imagine,
we'll put it in the
like
show notes.
Classic. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. Like a classic. How would you describe that picture?
Almost like a horse-drawn.
Yeah, carriage. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess an ox-drawn carriage.
Oh, yeah.
So, can this cart do anything? Or is it just like, does it just exist?
I think it just exists.
Okay.
Yep.
So, is it like tangible? Like, if you were, say, Ubagabi, would you run into it? Yes or no?
Well, perhaps. It's half transparent, but that doesn't mean it's not solid.
Oh, it's ghost-like.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Also, what does half transparent mean?
Like, you can, like, it's like opaque. You can kind of see through it.
Okay.
Let me see. It does just kind of talk about this, like, resentment for not having good seating.
That's all right. Matt Myers or whatever his
name is. It must have been a really big problem.
Isn't asking the big questions.
Well, apparently, so in Kyoto, whatever, residents might hear on misty moonlit nights the squeak of an ox cart in the street. And when they look out to see, it will be this half transparent ghost like cart with an enormous face on it. And it's just parked outside their house.
Wait, so imagine if this thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Frank.
I just said literally like leftover negative emotions. like do like a almost like a stone tape theory of ghosts here, where it's like a replaying of the nobles trying to look for good spots and they're pissed, so that just keeps replaying. Weird.
So can you imagine if one of these things like just got summoned at the top of a hill and just like went barreling into town?
Now that's the ultimate siege weapon.
True. You just got to get really upset about festival seats,
mm-hmm.
and you can conquer cities that way.
Well, you know what the ultimate siege defense is?
What?
The Nurikabi.
Exactly.
The invisible wall?
The invisible wall.
True.
Imagine that.
Well, okay, we have our last silly one. The next one's our last silly one. And then we have only two more after that. I made the list a lot shorter than it initially was. But we have the Haha Kigami, which is broom spirit translation. It's literally like a broom. It looks like a broom. And it can be seen on cold, windy, late autumn mornings, sweeping at blowing leaves.
Oh, you love that weather, don't you?
It's my favorite. No sun. Overcast.
That sounds amazing.
You can feel the time.
Old.
The times are changing. Very nice. On a more positive note.
That was a garbage take.
The Haha Kigami. Right? Like, maybe symbols of it. Or maybe itself, like the broom itself. Are used as magical charms for safe and quick childbirth, kind of like sweeping out the child. Yeah.
Sweeping out the child.
Like, yeah, and you know when you're sweeping, you might do it like quickly. It's just so you have a quick childbirth. It's safe. The mom's healthy. It's a good thing.
That makes sense. What do you think? How do you think they use it? Like, do they make the pregnant woman hold on to this broomstick, which is said to be the...
Or it's like a charm made from the wood of one, or just a charm, splinter. Or like a charm in the shape of one. I don't know.
Yeah, because then if it like just has to be around when it happens, then you've got like a bunch of babies being born in the fall.
We should
disproportionate amount.
We
of
again
children.
Should also on top.
Let's
of
crunch the numbers on that.
On top of the what I said at the beginning with the what was it? Checking when people get spirited away during what times of year. We should now also see, are more babies born in Japan in the fall? Specifically late autumn.
Do you think we can get like a open data set for births in Japan and the durations of them? And we could see like...
I don't know.
The ones in the fall were quicker?
Not so sure about that one. But maybe. Also, I lied. This next one is also very silly. The last one is not.
Oh.
We have the Kanbari Niodu. No, Niodo. Kanbari Niodo. Which just means Kanbari priest. And it's a perverted ghost-like yokai that lurks outside bathrooms on New Year's Eve.
Oh, no.
It looks like a priest, but its body is covered in thick hairs. And apparently it blows a cuckoo out of its mouth. Not a kazoo. It said cuckoo?
Like a cuckoo clock?
I guess.
The bird?
Yeah, it blows a cuckoo out of its mouth. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is it will peer into people using the toilet and generally said to bring bad luck. But in recent stories say that it tries to stroke or lick the person using the toilet and sometimes even inflicts constipation on those who see it. But only on New Year's Eve.
A fate worse than death.
Not a lot known about them because they only show up one time a year.
It's pretty hard to study, I guess.
Yeah. There was another one I remember where it was like they're generally pretty harmless, but one night of the year, it's like December 20th or something, they have to kill a child or a baby.
Oh my God.
Something like that. They are obviously not included in this short list.
Yeah, that's messed up, Nick. That was your silly one?
That was silly. He's a perverted ghost.
Yeah, that's not as much silly as it is creepy. If that's silly, you need to reevaluate your life decisions, Nick.
Well, silly, like it's not, you know, flaying someone's skin.
Not serious.
Yeah, it's frivolous. So now our final yokai. And there were a lot. There were a lot of good ones that I took out, a lot of ones that I'm remiss, or I lament rather, that I could not add. But this...
Buy the book.
People. It's a great book. It's so fun. I think
I'd buy it. I'd love to have the books, but like, look at these illustrations. Like it's a physical copy, I mean.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's very fun. But we have Shuten Doji, which is a nickname, Little Drunkard. Shuten Doji is an oni. So this is our first oni, I think. No, maybe not.
Those are the just straight up bad demons?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think this is our first oni. And the only one there, I cut a few, but this guy is considered one of the three most evil yokai in Japan.
Oh.
So I thought I had to. And here's the legend of Shuten Doji. He was not born an oni, but was born a human boy over 1,000 years ago. His mother was a human, and his father was the dragon Yamada no Orochi. So again, don't have sex with dragons.
Noted.
The story goes that a young boy, Shuten Doji, was abnormally strong and intelligent for his age. But because of that, people called him a demon child. He soon grew antisocial and resented those who mocked him. And at 6 years of age, his own mother abandoned him.
Damn.
Now an orphan, he became an apprentice priest at Mount Hiei in Kyoto. And he, of course, was the strongest and smartest at the temple. But that resentment toward his peers continued. He began to become feckless in his studies and got into fights with the other apprentices, while at the same time becoming an alcoholic. I don't know how old he is at this point.
Truly one of the smartest of the groups.
Yes. So he fell into alcoholism, potentially at a very, very young age. But one night, a festival was held at the temple, and Shuten Doji showed up quite besotted, if you will. Very, very drunk. He put on an oni mask to play pranks on people, but when he tried to take the mask off, he couldn't. It was fused to his face.
Oh.
Feeling shame and fear, he fled to the mountains and ceased any contact with other humans because he viewed them as weak, foolish, and hypocritical. He would steal food and alcohol from the villages and eventually attracted groups of thugs that loyally served him. He mastered dark magic, which he taught to his gang of thugs, and even met another demon child named Ibakari Doji, who became his chief servant. So kind of like his right-hand man, another demon child. Over time, Shuten Doji and his clan became onis, and he settled on Mount Oe with his gang and plotted to conquer the capital of Kyoto and rule as emperor.
Wow.
He and his gang attacked Kyoto, capturing noble virgins, drinking their blood, and eating their organs raw. However, the legendary warrior Minamoto no Yorimitsu led a band of heroes to thwart Chūtendōji's efforts. They used a magical poison and assaulted the Oni clan whilst they were heavily drinking. They cut off Chūtendōji's head, but as he was an Oni and not human, it still kept biting at Minamoto. The head was then buried outside the city limits at a mountain pass called Oinosaka. And the cup and bottle of poison that Minamoto used to kill Chūtendōji are said to be stowed away at the temple Nariai-ji.
Wow.
And that's the tale of Chūtendōji.
So, the first things first, this kid got abandoned and made fun of because he was better than everyone.
Have you seen the movie Hercules?
You know, I take it back.
What a story to end on.
I think that's like, that's just a very fun, that's just a great story about how this Oni was a boy, came to become an Oni because he was basically made fun of by all of society. He attracted thugs and outcasts who just became debaucherous and evil, attacking villagers, stealing. And they, you know, that's their holy evil now. So they became Oni and then tried to take over Kyoto. But Minamoto no Yorimitsu and a band of heroes thwarted them. That just sounds like Japanese D&D.
It does, right? The final boss.
And they used a magic poison.
Save the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
I love that the head kept biting.
Yeah. There are a couple other, like, again, as I said, he's one of the three most evil yokai. I believe the other two are in here. I know one of them is. I forget their name. But there's also a whole section in the book that goes over, like, the Japanese underworld mythology and their, like, judgment person and, like, the demons that are in their version of the underworld. So we didn't get into any of those. So again, if you want to get a more in-depth look at other yokai that we did not go over, or even look further into the ones we did discuss, into the actual detailed origins of some of them, I encourage you to check out Matthew Meyer's book, The Hour of Meeting Evil Spirits, and any of his other books about Japanese folklore. So that is our first look into the wonderful world of yokai. So remember, don't try to fight the Ubagabi or the Nuribake. It won't go well. See you all again next Wednesday at 9 p.m.